Did you catch it? You probably did. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 84. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. Thank you for joining me today. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today is Sunday, so we're going to read from the epistles, specifically 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. To find out what Bible translation I'm using today, go to bible.lifespringmedia.com and look for episode number 84. Hey, I was recently made aware of a podcast that you might enjoy. It's called Cast the Word, and you can find it at casttheword.com. Andrew's the host, and the mission of his podcast is to deposit and distribute the Word of God to those that are hungry for more of His Word, and to those that are lost and or hurt. If you're looking for another Christian podcast to put into your rotation, I recommend that you take a listen to Cast the Word at casttheword.com. LifeSpring Media is supported not by advertisers, but by listeners. You'd be doing me a favor if you'd go to lifespringmedia.com/support to find out more about this support model. Thanks. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us who hears. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see what you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not a free man? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord? And aren't you the result of my work for the Lord? Even if others do not accept me as an apostle, surely you do. Because of your life in union with the Lord, you yourselves are proof of the fact that I am an apostle. When people criticize me, this is how I defend myself. Don't I have the right to be given food and drink for my work? Don't I have the right to follow the example of the other apostles and the Lord's brothers in Peter by taking a Christian wife with me on my trips? Or are Barnabas and I the only ones who have to work for our living? What soldiers ever have to pay their own expenses in the army? What farmers do not eat the grapes from their own vineyard? What shepherds do not use the milk from their own sheep? I don't have to limit myself to these everyday examples, because the law says the same thing. We read in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox when you are using it to thresh grain." Now, is God concerned about oxen? Didn't he really mean us when he said that? Of course that was written for us. Anyone who plows and anyone who reaps should do their work in the hope of getting a share of the crop. We have sown spiritual seed among you. Is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have the right to expect this from you, don't we have an even greater right? But we haven't made use of this right. Instead, we have endured everything in order not to put any obstacle in the way of the good news about Christ. Surely you know that the men who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who offer the sacrifices on the altar get a share of the sacrifices. In the same way, the Lord has ordered that those who preach the gospel should get their living from it. But I haven't made use of any of these rights, nor am I writing this now in order to claim such rights for myself. I would rather die first. Nobody's going to turn my rightful boast into empty words. I have no right to boast just because I preach the gospel. After all, I am under orders to do so. And how terrible it would be for me if I did not preach the gospel. If I did my work as a matter of free choice, then I could expect to be paid. But I do it as a matter of duty because God has entrusted me with this task. What pay do I get then? It is the privilege of preaching the good news without charging for it, without claiming my rights in my work for the gospel. I am a free man, nobody's slave. But I make myself everybody's slave in order to win as many people as possible. While working with the Jews, I live like a Jew in order to win them. And even though I myself am not subject to the law of Moses, I live as though I were when working with those who are in order to win them. In the same way, when working with Gentiles, I live like a Gentile, outside the Jewish law, in order to win Gentiles. This does not mean that I don't obey God's law. I am really under Christ's law. Among the weak in faith, I become weak like one of them, in order to win them.
So I become all things to all people, that I may save some of them by whatever means are possible. All this I do for the gospel's sake, in order to share in its blessings. Surely you know that many runners take part in a race, but only one of them wins the prize. Run, then, in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to be crowned with a wreath that will not last, but we do it for one that will last forever. That is why I run straight for the finish line. That is why I am like a boxer who does not waste his punches. I harden my body with blows and bring it under complete control to keep myself from being disqualified after having called others to the contest.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be sure of the fact that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all went through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. However, God was unhappy with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. These things were examples for us, so we don't crave evil things like they did. Don't worship false gods like some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they got up to play. Let's not practice sexual immorality like some of them did, and 23,000 died in one day. Let's not test Christ like some of them did, and were killed by the snakes. Let's not grumble like some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and were written as a warning for us to whom the end of time has come. So those who think they're standing need to watch out, or else they may fall. No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people. But God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it. So then, my dear friends, run away from the worship of false gods. I'm talking to you like you are sensible people. Think about what I'm saying. Isn't the cup of blessing that we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Isn't the loaf of bread that we break a sharing of the body of Christ? Since there is one loaf of bread, we who are many are one body, because we all share the one loaf of bread. Look at the people of Israel. Don't those who eat the sacrifices share from the altar? What am I saying then? That food sacrificed to a false god is anything, or that a false god is anything? No, but this kind of sacrifice is sacrificed to demons and not to God. I don't want you to be sharing in demons. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't participate in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or should we make the Lord jealous? We aren't stronger than He is, are we? Everything is permitted, but everything isn't beneficial. Everything is permitted, but everything doesn't build others up. No one should look out for their own advantage, but they should look out for each other. Eat everything that is sold in the marketplace without asking questions about it because of your conscience. The earth and all that is in it belong to the Lord. If an unbeliever invites you to eat with them and you want to go, eat whatever is served without asking questions because of your conscience. But if someone says to you, "This meat was sacrificed in a temple," then don't eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for the sake of conscience. Now, when I say conscience, I don't mean yours, but the other person's. Why should my freedom be judged by someone else's conscience? If I participate with gratitude, why should I be blamed for food I thank God for? So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you should do it all for God's glory. Don't offend either Jews or Greeks, or God's church. This is the same thing that I do. I please everyone in everything I do. I don't look out for my own advantage, but I look out for many people so that they can be saved.
There was a common thread in these two chapters. Did you catch it? You probably did. Here's what it was. It's good not to insist on defending our personal rights if doing so hurts the cause of Christ or causes someone else to be spiritually harmed. As believers and followers of Christ, we must not consider ourselves first. We must look to the spiritual welfare of those around us. After all, Jesus gave up everything in order to bring salvation to us. Of course, He had the absolute right to stay in the glories of heaven, and to let you and me suffer and die an eternal death because of our sins, because after all, the wages of sin is death. But instead, he gave it all up to become one of us, so that he could live the perfect life that none of us could, in order to purchase our freedom from death and eternal life with God. How could we be so selfish as to insist on our own rights when he gave up so much for us? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, being Monday, we're going to read from the law. We'll read Genesis 48 through 50. I hope you'll be here. Remember to check out that podcast, Cast the Word, at casttheword.com. And also, please take a look at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.